in a way that you have never experienced, but you got to get in it and you got to do it and you got to continue once you begin. So, you know, I stay sick from stories that I keep replaying and feeling. I hold on to old ideas that may have helped me in the past that are killing me today. I have delusional thinking. I have very sensitive skin. So God help me, because I can't let go of any of it. I don't know any way but my way. And of course, it doesn't work. It's not helping me. It doesn't serve me. But again, I don't know any other way. And I just continue until the pain presses in and presses on and convinces me. So my only answer to all this pain and suffering was food. You know, oblivion. I start eating and I go numb and I escape. And it works, people. It works. It was my best friend since birth. You know, I think I was that baby crying extra tears and cries for that next bottle. There was some effect that I got as I sucked it down. So food has been a long friend. And when you all told me I had to say goodbye to it, I was pretty pissed at you. Like, what? Have a funeral with the food? How do you live without food? And again, this grace, this miraculous God doing for me what I just don't do. So food was everything. I sought solace in every bite and I loved being numb. Life was too hard and I was born maladjusted. I'm restless, I'm irritable and discontent. That's my nature as an addict. I don't know how to be in my own skin. And then pour life on top of it, and it really becomes a nightmare. I'll never forget that morning in the kitchen when my mother's suitcase, with my mother and her suitcase in hand, as she brushed by and she was gone. She left my family when I was 5. From there, all I knew was a constant state of fear, worry, and anxiety. And I soon found myself knee deep in the food because it provided the comfort I needed that my mother could not do. It was everything. It gave me the breath to breathe. So I got to say, as a kid, I was just a crack up. I could not wait for Saturday because Saturday morning, it was cartoons. Finally, we didn't have to go to school. Who likes school? I'm sorry, I'm not a student. I'm not in academia. I am all about play. Let's have fun. Let's have reset all day long. Who wants to go sit in a stool, you know, a chair and learn? I want to have fun. And so Saturday morning rolled around. Oh my gosh, all those great cartoons. And you only see them on Saturday morning. And I loved cereal, boxes and boxes of cereal and those cartoons. And I just put myself in front of that chair and oh my gosh, bowl after bowl, box after box. And it went on from the morning and probably about till noon or 2 in the afternoon. And my family just, you know, being without a mother, my dad was doing the best to survive. And so we just sort of had carte blanche. The grocery man would show up, bring all this terrible food, all these sugary items. We literally had glass jars on our countertop filled with candy items, about 7 in a row. And they were always stocked. And my friends, oh my gosh, did they always want to come over to my house? Because they were eating yogurt and cheese. And then they come to Ginger and you get Twinkies. I grew up in Chicago. We have the Hostess land. We have all the fun food. And it was definitely stocked in my house. And my favorite cookie, just to give you a little idea of how crazy I am with sugar, oh my gosh, meringue cookies. And basically it's white sugar. That's all it is. It's this egg white. Maybe you have 2 egg whites and 2 cups of sugar. And then on top of that, you got chocolate morsels. And they were the best cookies in the world to me. They were like heaven. I just started singing. So I definitely ate as a child because again, that pain was so great. I could not stand to be with it. And so I just ate and ate and ate. And my favorite friend was food. The effect, it's just electric. The pain was not prevalent. It went away. It gave me some reprieve. Until the one day came, as all addictions, because it's progressive in nature, it always gets worse, never better. And that pain of eating became worse than ever. And I thought I was drunk at 24 years of sobriety. And I was drunk on food. And I had no idea the depths that this disease could take you. In AA, I would tell my friends, I think I'm in trouble. And they would say, oh, Ginger, it's okay. It's just sugar. It's just ice cream. You're okay. It's not alcohol. It's not drugs. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm suicidal. And I can no longer live. I'm horribly depressed and I'm bedbound. And I work in hospice. As our patients are dying, many become bedbound. And we have to get a hospital bed into their homes because that's the only place they can be. And because of the pain of the food, my reality, I was bedbound. I tried so hard to muster my strength to get up to show my kids I was okay. I couldn't do it. But my beginning and where this food took me, which is unbelievable to me, I would talk about demoralization. I would wake up every morning and open my nightstand drawer because my lemon heads were there. And to me, it was like a heroin. It was like this shot instantly getting in my veins. A lot of people think it's the most disgusting, nasty candy you can buy, but those little yellow balls are just filled with sugar. It's like little shots of sugar. And when you begin your mornings, and then it only continued after there, more sugar, more bites, because once I start, I don't stop. I'm out of control. But I had no strength. I had no energy. I was so depressed. And so my kids would return home after going to school all day and find me back in bed, this dark room. Thank God they didn't see the side of the bed because that's where all the boxes and the bags, wrappers, that's where they were, or under the sheets. And that's incomprehensible. That is just unbelievable. And thank God for every beautiful bite, because one last bite, and I may not be sharing this message of hope this morning. It takes what it takes. I had 20 years of constant revolving relapse, but I was in pain when I would come in. I wasn't done. There's a big difference. Are you done and out of ideas? Are you scared for your life? This finally became life and death, this addiction. And a lot of times we come into OA, we want to lose the weight. We want to feel better, but are you willing to go to any lengths for victory? And if you're beaten, you have no choice. I'm dying. Help me. And that's exactly what happened. So on October 30th, 2015, I did not surrender. I hear this over and over, and I love Rami Shapiro because he says, if you think you're surrendering, you're still into control. I don't surrender anything. I would have stopped this years ago if I had that power. The food surrendered me. And with God's grace, this loving God that loves all of us right here, right now, in such great ways, never gives up on us and won't ever leave us. We always leave the power and walk away because we get afraid. And I get back into that self-reliance, thinking that I got to take care of Ginger at all costs. So, you know, I just can't believe that. Again, I was separated from food on 2015. It's been a little over 5 years. And not only was I separated, people, I'm in the same pant size. That's a miracle. I used to always look at my girlfriend and say, God, you're always the same size. How do you do this? I had a revolving, it was like the dry cleaner. The rack was coming around. Which size is it today? And thank God I had so many sizes in the closet because I didn't know. I fluctuated from size 6 to 16. I've lost 50 pounds by putting the food down and getting clean and clear. And I've maintained a healthy body size. And that is one of the greatest joys. I mean, there's so, so many more, but it just blows my mind that you can stay in the same pant size. And I pray my last breath, I'm in the same pants. Maybe I'll get buried in them too. I'm so excited about it. So, when I finally got done and beaten, there were two questions. Are you done? Are you out of ideas, Ginger? And are you a real compulsive overeater? And then are you willing to go to any lengths for victory? And again, thank God for that step one, because it is absolutely necessary 100% to be taken head to heart. You have to concede to your innermost self and you have to be convinced. And I never was. I just never thought it was that big of a deal until it became that big of a deal. And again, that was my beginning. And I said yes to both of those propositions. And then, of course, found someone in whom the problem had been solved. And I got busy and I got better. Again, it's so easy. It's a practical program of action. It's simple. And sometimes it's not easy because the price has to be paid. Really, my job is to lower this false self, this ego, this pride, this arrogance, this selfish, self-centered tendency that rises all the time. And that's my ultimate work, to be a little less of Ginger and a little more of you. And what's amazing is I just got into the work. I followed directions. If my sponsor said jump to the moon, I would try. And then this God that's, again, always with us, has never left us, starts rearranging us, has me thinking in a new way and experiencing life in a new way. Most importantly, I know how to be in relationships today. I know how to come to the table because half of life is showing up. Just come to the table. Leave the results to God because it's none of your business and it's God's world. What happens? Where you go, what you do, but you gotta show up. And I always was sidelined. I never could get there. I wanted to be a part of you. I wanted to feel that connection. But you know what? When a mother leaves a child, your heart's pretty broken. And I couldn't afford to be rejected one more time like that. I was so hurt. So the saddest thing that I did that day in the kitchen when she walked out the door is I closed off that hurt. It became really hard because that's how I protected me from that pain. And really, it was the saddest thing because I left that little girl. And today, the gift of recovery is I get to go home to that little girl now. And I get to love her in the way that my mother could never love me. And I get to put my arms around her and do all those things that I only wish a mother could have done. And the most amazing thing is I have two beautiful children and they've had their paths because we all have our paths. But I get to be their mom and I've never left them. And that's a miracle. Just an absolute miracle. So we're going to get now into how does all this work? How do you get in the same pant size and stay there? How do you have these relationships and these connections? Because as an addict, I know isolation and separation. And it's through these practical program, these 12 steps. And today we're talking about steps 8 and 9. And, you know, I think 8 is preparing our hearts. And thank God for the fourth column in the fourth step, because that's where I finally get to see my part in a way that I didn't quite understand before. Because don't you know, my mom was the worst person in the world, and I just didn't have anything kind about her to say to you. And I had a lot of years of resentment, deep, deep resentment. And so 8, we get to stop before 9, because 9 is when the rubber hits the road. 9 is to me when it all happens. 9 is when God starts shifting this heart, you know, and I let go of trying to control and change me, and I let God change this heart. I can't do it again. That's just a form of my delusional thinking that somehow, some way I'll figure this out. God does this miraculous work. I just need to let go and let him do it. So in step 8, we're really preparing the heart. And the reality is that as long as we hold on to these hurts, they possess us. And actually, they poison us emotionally and spiritually. You know, and my mom and this pain was obviously my greatest pain in life. And it was a dormant disturbance because don't you know, I'm in Colorado. I have a great life. I've been married. I went to college. I have two beautiful children. She's in Florida. I never see her. She doesn't bother me. And you want to see how great this God is? How miraculous this God is? I go down to visit, not to see my mom, but to take my kids to Boca Raton because we have a university that my grandfather is heavily endowed with and they might have wanted to go to school there. And my daughter's girlfriend wanted to go and get a new swimsuit for the beach. And I'm like, well, we're on the ocean, staying in this great house right on the water. But I know all the shops are like three times the cost. And I know that she works very hard for the money she's earned and didn't want her to spend her money foolishly. So we went out to a Marshall's, just a little west. And we're in this store shopping for her. And out of the corner of my eye, I see my mom. And I about died in that moment, because I hadn't seen her in almost 20 years. And the pain was so overwhelming, because the little girl in me just wanted to go hug her and get that hug that I've always wanted from her. And the adult in me is, she's sick, Ginger. We don't go to the hardware store for bread. And it's a very conflicting state. And I really didn't know what to do. And so I tried to call my husband and he didn't pick up. And then thank God for these kids. Sometimes it breaks my heart, because my daughter at that moment became the parent. And she said, Mom, it's time to leave. We need to get out of this store. And I left. And do you know how hard I hit the food? I cannot tell you. I fell off like a ski jump, just like our friend Bill. I could not eat hard enough and fast enough, because the pain was excruciating, destroying me in such a horrible way. And thank God again for these experiences. This, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances, God is loving you and serving you and has a purpose for this. It's the pain that is the touchstone to spiritual growth. It was that pain and that eating that finally got me to a place where in August, I saw my mother on July 4th. It was the 4th of July, 2015. And in August, I said that most desperate prayer. But not only did I say, God help me, I meant it. God help me. I am dying in the food. I can't believe where this pain has taken me. And I can't believe the eating. And I told you my ending. I was bedbound in a bed because of all of it. And I'm so grateful for all those experiences, because I finally was convinced I'm done. I'm out of ideas. I'm dying and I need help. And thank God the room of Overeaters Anonymous exists. And thank God for the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's what saved my life. That's what finally ended this food nightmare. The 12 steps exactly written on those 164 pages and following it precisely. So again, you know, I just dismissed though all those years, and I know a lot of my relapse was that dormant disturbance, that terrible pain with my mom. It was so evident to see her live and to see how far I went down. So this work is vital. These 8 and 9, I love these AA speakers I'm hearing. Go back and make those amends that you're still afraid to do, because they could be killing you right here, right now. And you will probably return back to some effect. And for me, I'm in the summer program. Some are sicker than others, people. And I love food. I love drugs. I love alcohol. I love shopping. You name it, I'm going there, because I don't like to be with me in my pain. And so I can get into sprees. The big book talks about it. Might have the food down, but what else am I doing on the outside? How am I really with God and connecting and going to God with everything? Or am I seeking a little effect in another area in my life? I got to be honest about this stuff. And then I have to trust God with God's timing. God takes away these addictions in the order they're killing me. You know, and thank God for that, because my sponsor tells me all the time, I very well could have been a suicide statistic had I not had some of this ease and comfort. But this step 8, you know, to forgive allows us to take responsibility for our part, which may only be that we have been holding on to these memories and these feelings and allowing them to continue devastating our emotional and spiritual life. And that's the sad reality. Do the work. It's your freedom in the end. You know, how long are we going to be shackled by the chains? Resentment, it cuts off that sunlight. It cuts off the most important piece, the power that I need to stay out of the food. And so it's a gift to do this work. And yes, sometimes it's very hard because abuse is in the picture, but forgiveness is love. And that's what exactly I found in the work that I was able to do with my mom. And thank God my sponsor held me to it. You know, step 8 says, remember, We agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for this victory. And there's a reason why they say remember, because after step 8, it's step 9, right? You got to go to these people and make these amends. I balked. My heels dug in. And when he said I had to make an amends to my mother, I was like, are you kidding me? Did you not listen to my fist up? Let me replay my story again, because that's all I've known my whole life. This self-pity, this sad story that I can't stop telling myself. And he said, Ginger, I said to him, I said, you know, maybe I'll make it in 2 years. And he goes, you'll probably be eating in 2 years. And that scared me. But again, thank God he knew how important this work was. And that's what we have to do if we're guiding others. It's not easy. And that's why we take this time. We prepare our hearts in step 8. God, give me the direction. Reflect back in your step 4. Look at that fourth column. You've got your part. Own it. Take responsibility. Look at the truth, because the truth is a gift. It's going to set you free. It's going to set you in a path that you didn't even dream of. And, you know, the gift of this is amazing. The compassion, the healing, and the forgiveness that I have today for my mom. I love her in a whole new way. I have finally broken the chain and I'm free. And that's why I can love her in this new way and be with her and have her be a part of my life. I even financially support her and it feels good. And I never thought I would give her a dime. You never gave me anything. Why should I help you? So it's miraculous work, and it's so, don't miss it. You know, a lot of the times we think we'll be 100 before we die. We have no idea when our time is going to be called. Don't wait. Today is a gift. Utilize it. Our patients only wish they had another day. So I just can't believe this shift. And it's, you know, my mom could have done better. She would have. And I really believe that today, not only with her, but all people, including myself. I think sometimes the greatest forgiveness and compassion needs to be towards me. Be a little bit more gentler with Ginger, the words I say. So today I focus on the gifts she shared. And I have to just share, I hope I'm not going over on time, but this is just an amazing gift. So I am lowering my screen and you can see the top of this beautiful wingback chair. And this is an amazing story because this is one of the gifts I get to sit in every day and remember my mother with. Because as a little girl, when I was about 4, the year before she left, she sat me in this chair. And I sat on her lap and she brought out a book about Genesis and started talking to me about God. And that was my beginning to understand about a thing called God. And she would also take me on drives before she left. And we lived on the North Shore of Chicago. And if you're familiar with the area, it's just beautiful. The ravines and the rocks and the trees are magnificent. And we'd go on these rides called God's Country, and she'd talk about God. My mom was the beginning to my God. What a gift. And that's what I hold today and reflect on. And I thank her all the time, and she loves to talk about these stories with me today at 83. And I get to love her exactly and meet her exactly where she's at. Because the reality is my mom has really never known love except through one little poodle named Lucy. And I'm so grateful that dog came into her life that allowed her heart to feel that all humans should feel. Love is such a powerful emotion and it's so beautiful. So step 9, you know, this is again where the work happens, you know, and step 9, you know, 8 is preparing our hearts. So step 9, we have the courage to speak it. And we go to these people and we make these amazing amends. And I think the most important thing that I emphasize with step nine is the book says you're to go with a forgiving and helpful spirit. And if you're still blocked and you're still feeling ill feelings, take the time with God to shift a little more. Make it matter. A lot of people in program just do compliance work. They just run through the steps. They think they're a good student. They're checking it off. I got it done. What kind of work are you doing? This is powerful work if done in the right way. And I have a girlfriend. She's one of my best friends. And she didn't have the same experience, but she also knows she didn't go with the right heart to make that amends to her own mom. And maybe in God's timing, they will have that meeting and it will be miraculous. But it's so important to follow these directions precisely exactly. And I also say that if you've got 1% harm, and sometimes they're not on that resentment form, you know, the sex inventory, it's sex slash conduct. What's your behavior? You may have to be looking in that sheet and not on that resentment, but if you've done wrong and you've done harm, make it right. Own it. And sometimes they say, I'll never make that amends. Why? It's just going to be killing you. It's inside you. You'll be eating over it probably. So I try not to delay, but again, I always want to be in the right place. And I always check in with my guide. I write my letters. I go through the pieces. I want to be as prepared as possible because amends are not easy. You're going to these people that you may not like or that you feel like they've done more harm to you than you've done to them. But if you've got that 1%, you own it and you get it done. And you clean it out, because if I've got anything that's not getting cleaned out, that pipe to God is blocked. And I want it to flow freely. I need power. I have no power. So I don't want anything blocking off this power. And I'm just going to share just a couple amends real quick stories, because I think, you know, the greatest gift really all any of us have is our experiences. That's all I get to bring to the table. And so two experiences around amends. One was with my sister, Julie. Oh my God. I have four sisters. Then I got two stepsisters when my stepmother came in. We had seven women in the house. Do you feel bad for my dad? Can you imagine what it was like? No wonder the guy, God bless him, but he died at 54 from a massive heart attack. But Julie was probably the sister that closest to me in age. We did so much together, and she, you know, those button pushers, right? She knew what buttons to push. We had a lot of pain, Julie and I. And I called her to make this amends to her. And she said, she didn't respond. She did not respond. And I started to freak out with my sponsor, because I was like, if I don't get this work done and I don't get this amends made, I'm going to eat. Total fear-based living. And what I see, and this is why I share Julie's story, is that so many people, not only do they feel that fear, but then they get into self-propulsion and they get into self-reliance because they got to manage the show and make things okay. And then they may send an email to get that amends done, right? Check off the checklist, got it done. She wouldn't accept it. She didn't call me back, but I just sent it anyway. And you know, that amends could potentially harm more. And the last thing we want to do is any more harm. Create no harm. Look at our world today. We're in so much pain from harm. Let me do my part. Let me refrain from pen and tongue. Let me pause when agitated. Let me get back to God when I don't know what to do, so I don't go in the wrong direction and possibly create more harm. And again, there was a reason why she did not want that amends. And I need to accept that. My sponsor said, it's water over the dam. You're good to go. God knows you're ready. And if that time presents, you'll be ready and you'll follow through. But let it be. It's okay. So it's so important to respect where these people are and how they respond. You've done your part. It's okay. And today we talk and we have a relationship that's forming in a new way, because of this God spirit, a way that I get to meet her and want her greatest needs and her happiness That's my uppermost thought. It's not about Ginger and her plans and designs. It's about her for the first time, because it was always so selfish on my side. And then another amends was to my father. As I shared just a minute ago, he died young. And I didn't have a chance to do this face-to-face because I think, you know, did you harm him in a letter? No. So don't write the letter. Go face-to-face and own your stuff. Look in their eyes. Let them know that it really matters to you. And I was absolutely wrong what I did, and I want to make it right. Because the most important thing are love and connections. And this is how we get that bridge built. So with my father, he died. And it took about 25 years. You know, there's no right or wrong way to grieve. Everybody has their own paths and processes. No judgments. And it took me about 25 years before I could go back to the place where my father took his last breath. And it was in Lexington, Kentucky. And he was in the building. He was actually having a massage. It was one of his favorite things. He loved touch. And I was in this building, the same building where he was having that massage. And afterwards, on the street, as he was walking to his car, he had that massive heart attack. And that was his last moment. And when he died, years before, I knew I wanted to do something to honor and emulate him. And so Mother Teresa's poem, Anyway, has always been very dear to me. And I've always tried to honor it in the honor of my father and the greatest gift that he gave by never leaving his children and being the best dad a dad could be. And so I'm in this building, and of course the emotions are coming over because the grief is there. And there's no bad tear. The only tear to me that's bad is the ones that don't fall. And thank God we can get out of the food and start feeling our feelings and knowing that they won't kill us. You know, the fear of pain is worse than the actual pain. So I wanted to take a minute because I was in a public place, and I went into the bathroom to try to collect myself. And I kid you not, I look up on the ceiling of this bathroom, and there is Mother Teresa's poem written on the wall, Anyway. Do you know the moment of healing that happened for me? Because I felt my father in such an incredible way. I just knew I was right with him, and he was so proud of me for being clean and sober and trying to have a good life. So these amends can be made to those that are no longer here as well. But the most important thing is doing it. You know, this program is not a program of thinking. You would think our book would say Into Thinking is a chapter, because Lord knows I sit upstairs all the time in my mind that spins and goes nowhere. But it's a practical program of action. What am I doing? Where am I going? How am I growing? Because there's two ways. We're either going or we're growing. And I am so grateful this conscious contact is not far to find. It's down deep within me. But sometimes I just really need to get quiet and still to be able to hear it. The whispers come. And I just don't want to miss it. There is this intuitive feeling that I'm so connected to today. And it's miraculous. It's unbelievable. It's mysterious. I never knew today with my job I'd be working so closely with Vietnam veterans. And it's been some of the greatest joy to work with newcomers, to watch their lives change. But to finally be thinking a little less of Ginger, I have taken so much from life. What can I pack into the stream today? And it begins by getting right with God, by looking these people in the eyes, making these amends, and most importantly, starting to open that heart that was so closed off. Because it's about connection. And thank God we share, and thank God we're authentic and real. Because that's what it is, language of the heart. I share what it was like, what happened, what it's like today. And for someone so broken, to be healing. And just from action, I got busy, I got better. God does it all. God did it at the beginning by taking the food away. I went to Virginia Beach with a backpack full of food to that first Vision for You conference. I was not done. I was not going to stop eating. And God took that candy away from me. It was crazy. These stories, you can't create this stuff up. But again, don't miss it. Let today's pain be enough. Don't wait. Say goodbye. It's the hardest goodbye. You will have a funeral. You will grieve. You will be sad. It's been a friend for a long, long time. I think sex, money, and food are the three hardest. And when I say sex, I'm talking codependency too. Relationships. But they've been with you for a long, long time. And this God doesn't want part-time custody. This God loves you so much. God wants you fully. So God keeps taking, stripping you. This price that has to be paid. This ego deflation. So you get back and you get right. You're with humility. And you just keep moving in this new direction. And again, a lot of it all begins with just showing up, come to the table. And then let go of the results. We have no idea where God's going or what God's doing, and it's none of our business. But God has amazing plans for all of us. And I just am so grateful to be here with all of you today and amazed to no longer see food as any type of solution, no matter what's going on, no matter what my circumstances. And with that, I'm going to allow some question and answer. Again, thank you to the amazing committee and all the participants that made this weekend possible. And just stay on the firing line. You know, one of my favorite AA speakers, he says, we chop wood and we carry water. We're God's agents. And so many, as I started off at the beginning, they don't even know Overeaters Anonymous exists. So be ready for God's work, because God may put the person right in front of you and you are so consumed with yourself and your thoughts and your plans and your designs that you miss it. Can't be more close. So God, direct my thinking. Who would you have me be today and what would you have me do? I'm ready to go. And with that, I pass.
Ginger, thank you so very much. How wonderful. I was completely absorbed in you, what you were saying. And I want what you have completely. I want what you have. So thank you again. We will open the floor for questions. We ask you to frame any questions you have in a way which seeks a solution. Questions should be no longer than 1 minute long. Okay, so I'm going to look in the participants. We're hoping you raise your hand on the side, and so I'll know who to call on. I don't see any hands right now. Ginger, I just have to say, I love what you said about the idea in the beginning of trying to get advertisements on the bus. Because you are right, there's so many people that just don't know about us. And that's a great idea for, you know, us to look at in this area in New Jersey.
Jeanette, that was a very comprehensive qualification. Maybe we can do, instead of questions, is we can see if anybody would like to make a comment or share also.
I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ginger. So we'll open the floor for shares.
Actually, I've got a question. Okay. Ginger, thank you very much. And by the way, the next time you're in Boca, please look us up. So the question I have is, can you talk to me about, you know, how far you've gone down the list? It sounds like Mom was the absolute last person on the list of the amends you had to make. Is there anything that you're learning from your 10th step now that applies to how you're making amends in the 8 and 9?
Yeah, you know, again, just quickly, because this stuff, you think it's SUDs, right? Seemingly unimportant disturbances. And I think Jim's story is such a great reminder. You know, he used to own the company and now he has to work for it. You don't think that pissed him off every day? Absolutely it did. It was eating him alive. So I just try not to let this stuff sit in me too long. And it's interesting because I manage 200 volunteers with our hospice organization. And there's this new volunteer that came through the door and I just didn't like her. And guess what? She was from Canada. So guess what? Now I don't like all Canadians. I mean, this is how sick I am. I go from a molehill to a mountain. It's just crazy making. But I knew the direction. And like you said, it's the 10. Get on it, you know. Sometimes I just go to God and God, it just alleviates, that disturbance goes down. But this one wasn't leaving me. I was hating all Canadians. So it's like, okay, clearly something's wrong here. And I got to do the work. And I cannot even tell you the experience from doing that morning call with my friend in AA. I got to see this lady and have a whole new experience. And she even said, you know, we got off on the wrong foot. And again, life is about love and connection. All people, sometimes it's hard. We've got this really divided nation today, but you have a right to believe your feelings and I've got a right to mine, but do I judge you and tear you down and take you apart? You know, it gives you safety and security and it feels good to you. It may not feel anything like that for me, but it's not about me. Again, I'm making it selfish and self-centered. So thank goodness. And 10, 11, and 12, they're not maintenance steps. They're growth steps. We continue growing. And really, Bill says to be doing these 12 steps on an annual basis. And I love the messages that I'm hearing more, because in AA, you know, the big joke is, if you want to hide something from an alcoholic, just put it in the big book. So I love that people are seeing the work and adhering to it. You know, it's not easy. A price has to be paid and we don't stop. We don't rest on laurels. We got to continue. I got to wash, rinse, repeat. Here's a new day, a new beginning, and stay teachable. Humility. I have no idea who my teacher is today. I just want to be the student and be ready. So thanks, Carl.
Anyone else? We'd love to hear from you this morning. Okay, Terry, I saw you first and then Sharon.
Thank you. Ginger, you were absolutely amazing. And I had a special connection with you because I grew up in Chicago also. And it is beautiful on the North Shore. So I have two things. One, I was extremely taken with your comment about, you know, how God could be right in front of your face and you could not see it. And how many times have I had my version of looking up at the bathroom ceiling and seeing a poem there that I was thinking about? And I find that one of the most beautiful parts of program, because program opened up that vision to me, that I could see where the love and the gifts were coming from. And then the other part is a question. You know, it sounded to me like you had a lifetime of extreme difficulty with the feelings about your mother leaving. And then you do a lot of work and your sponsor directs you to make almost 180 degree change to being the forgiver and the amends maker. And I just wonder, you know, how that felt to make that U-turn for yourself. And what kind of work you had to do in order to see it the other way, another way. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So beautiful, Sharon. And thank you so much. That is such a great question, because it is this years of hatred and then to step to shore. Like, how did you get there? And it is, it was, as I said initially, that's where thank goodness in the book it says, remember, we're willing to go to any lengths, you know, in that step eight when we're about to do nine. But it was God and it was prayer, because I needed the strength and courage. I trusted my sponsor immensely and I didn't want to eat again. Again, the pain of the bottom really helps us to do these remaining 11 steps. That's why step one is so vital, to get it and to really believe in it, because then it will keep you moving through. It gets difficult. It's not easy. as I said, the rubber really hits the road. So it was pretty miraculous. I just trusted the sponsor. I did cry to him. I said, I don't know how to even begin to make amends. I don't know if I can do it. And then again, I said, initially, I'll do it in 2 years. And he said, you'll probably be eating in 2 years. And so then I just knew it was time to go to God. It just, you know, I shared the fear with him and then I started praying. And this is another crazy God story. Literally 2 days later, I made that phone call and it was such a hard phone call. I'm not going to say this stuff was easy, but again, God kept me moving my muscles. And it was Thanksgiving Day. And that's the one day that I had a lot of love and connection with my mom, the one holiday that felt really special with her. And so it was 2 days later, God just had me pick up and she didn't answer. And it was a voicemail, which was probably a blessing. And especially a blessing because she's an alcoholic. You know, she'd never been able to be in life without some numbing agent. And I'm sure she had been drinking Thanksgiving. This is her, she loves holidays. She's born a week before Christmas. You know, the whole month of December is my mother's birthday, not our baby Jesus. A little narcissistic about her. And, but you know, that phone call was made in the beginning. That's when it happened. And again, God gave me the strength and the courage to make that phone call. It was unbelievably painful. It was scary, but you know, I absolutely had my part, which was alienation of affection. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. And I pulled away from her as well when she tried to reach back and have times of connection. So this is the part that I was able to take accountability for, responsibility for, and the changes. And, you know, something shifted from it, again, that was so miraculous that years of recovery or therapy could never do. I can't tell you how many hours and dollars I spent in a therapist's chair trying to break through, right? Get to the other side. I'm done with this stuff. And it just wasn't happening. And wow, for fun and for free, we get to do this incredible work.
Right.
And I got set free. And then the greatest gift came because we made this amends. And this is where a lot of compassion really came. As I said, you know, Mom, I was the fourth or the fifth. Sorry, she had five girls. And I always hear the stories from the older sisters, right? Because I'm the baby. And I said, I want to hear your story. That's one thing I've learned in hospice. We all have stories, but am I listening? Am I taking the time to slow down and just really hear you? And I said, Mom, I really want to hear your story. Would you share that with me on my birthday? Because this is Thanksgiving and I'm born on Valentine's Day. And it was coming around the corner. And then don't you know, she said yes. And then Valentine's Day comes, my birthday, to hear this beautiful story. And she didn't call. And I thought, oh God, Charlie Brown, right? Doesn't Lucy always hold the football and say, come on, Charlie Brown, I'll hold it this time. And he's always falling on his back. And I thought, God, the same thing. Here we go again. And then she calls me February 15th, the day after. And do you know why she called the day after? Because she didn't want to ruin my birthday with her story. Because it was a story of pain. And isn't that love? To be thinking more of me on my birthday. So this woman, these stories that I created about how she's such a monster, she's not as bad as what I create. And I get to see the truth. And then she shares this story about her pain, tremendous pain. And when her parents divorced, she only wished she could have gone with her father. And that's why she left us girls with our dad. She knew he was the better parent. So, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. But thank you for that question. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger. Terry?
Jersey, I'm also a compulsive overeater. One of the things I wanted to ask, is when you went through the direct amends, what about people that were not receptive?
Yeah, again, it's like my sponsor said, it's water over the dam. I've done my part. I've done all that I can do. If they're not receptive, And if they're not receptive, there's two ways I'm taking this. If they're not receptive, like my sister Julie, let them be. Don't push your way through the door. Don't get the amends done. It, again, could create more harm for that person. And it's none of our business why they're not receptive or any, you know, again, I get selfish and self-centered thinking too much about me. It just is. And I just have to be and allow it. But if they're, I go and I, they are receptive to hear it, but then, you know, they might have feedback and I may not really enjoy their feedback, but it's, again, it's their time to share their heart and what they feel. And my job is just to be there and to allow it.
Do you mind if I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Okay. So I was there a large contingent that you had on your list? And do you know how many people were like, eh, you know, never responded?
Yeah, you know, actually, my sister Julie was the only amends that I truly have never made. And it's so funny. We just had the best phone call of our lives. I mean, it was just so sweet. So God just works in God's own way. I don't need to figure this out. But I only had one that was absolutely, she did not want my amends. She did not want to talk to me. And that was with my sister Julie.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? We'd love to hear from you.
I have a question.
Yes, Tom.
Hi, my name is Tom. I'm a compulsive reader. Thank you, Ginger. What does your step 8 look like?
So I think step 8 is just really more of a, almost like an 11. It's quiet and it's with God and it's reflective. And just really going over the work prior. Look at that fourth column, see my part, and start to prepare the heart. Because again, 9 is the courage, it's the speaking of the heart, but the heart's got to be ready. So it's pretty contemplative, it's pretty mindful and peaceful, and just, yeah, it's just inner. I can't explain. It reminds me of my 11 step work.
Did you have specific things that you did, like were there assignments that you were to do? Did your sponsor give you assignments for that?
No, it was just more following the directions, because again, I think 9, one of the most important things is that we have this forgiving and helpful spirit when we go to meet these people and these individuals. And just having a little bit more of that in place before I enter into that work. So it's not like any, again, it's taking that list, those names, those institutions, and just really seeing my part in them. It's head to heart work. It's penetrating it. It's letting it really absorb me and feeling it. So that difference is made with that 9 step work. It's not just sweet sorries. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. No, I was absolutely wrong. And I regret how I did not show up or did show up. It's really owning it in a deep way.
So Mom took a long time to do. And I guess the question I've got is how often have you done your 4th step, and do new things keep showing up? You know, like you said, some of us have been very good students, right? And use the workbooks. What's your journey been on the 4th, 5th, on up to the 9th step?
More stuff is always revealed. And thank God that we continue. It's not an overnight matter, you know, and that's this amazing work of this higher power. I see what I'm supposed to see when I'm ready too, you know. So it's just organic and it just does continue. And yes, 4 steps have continued to reveal more names, more areas, and more healing opportunities.
So speaking personally, I seem to be in a I don't know what to call it, a continual loop on one of my character defects, where it just keeps revealing overcommitment, and it just seems like I can't get out of my own way. So how do I, other than saying I'm not going to touch anything and, you know, hide like an ostrich, what's my ninth step strategy? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Carl. You know, no is a complete sentence. And so all you got to say is no. But, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times I hear that because people get the same repeated 10th step. And one of my favorite speakers, actually, he's doing an incredible talk on Tuesday nights. If you guys want the information, I'll put my number in the chat. He's down in Boca Raton, and his name is Peter M. He's probably one of the top speakers in the AA circuit. And he said, Ginger, if you keep having a character defect that's coming through or a 10th step that's repeating, you're probably still getting a little something from it. You know, it's not serving, you know, it's not helping, you know, you want things to be different today, but something's still there that's holding you that you're not willing to let go. So again, prayer, God, help me in this area of my life. Help me to see a new way, you know, but again, there's something that I'm getting, might be my self-esteem, feeling like I matter. You know, it's deep stuff. This stuff, the issues are in our tissues and it's deep. And then thank God we peel perfectly in God's timing. But then my job is this honesty. Yeah, this area is not something that I want to continue. And I don't see that how it's helping me to grow with God. And then God help me. But he was really clear. It's a 6 and 7, you know, backing it up, especially if you're stuck in a 10 loop. Maybe there's something you're still holding on to. You know, again, you want to let go. And again, we only wish we could let go and surrender, right? I hold on so damn tight. I think it's life and death. How can I let go? I'm going to die. Internally, it feels that way. And then I relax and just open this hand. It's almost like the beach in the sand, you know, and I would squeeze it so tight so it would stay and I would just be okay. And really, it's just going through my knuckles. I'm like squeezing it out of my hand and then I just open it. I relax and I open my hand and the sand stays. It's just such a better way of life. But again, it takes what it takes. And so I hope that helps a little bit, but I can connect you with Peter too. He might be a great person to talk to. He's very wise.
Ginger, I would love to have your information. We would love to have your information. And I would love to hear about Peter as well in the chat. So I appreciate that myself. We have about 10 more minutes, everybody. Terry, were you raising your hand? Go ahead. I can't hear you. You're on mute.
I'm not sure if I saw someone else waiting or... Okay. The other thing that I was thinking about was just the courage to ask for a sponsor. And with the food program, you know, calling in your food or texting in your food every day. And I found that keeps me focused. And I was just wondering if you're trying to work on a character defect, maybe something like overcommitment, maybe calling in your commitments every day to a sponsor might keep them on track. I mean, I'm not sure what works for you. You know, everybody has these things. I love issue in the tissue. oh my God. I don't know if I was born with it or I learned in it, but it's there. Okay. I don't know. That's where nature nurture, which came first. I really can't tease that one apart. But I think one of the problems that I have with these issues and, you know, identifying them and repeating them is that I get tired of the solution. I get bored easy. You know, that was working for a while. And then I got to go back and find something more refreshing to keep me motivated, whatever it is, a new saying, a new prayer, because life keeps throwing different things at you. And so you thought you had something that helped you, but didn't help you. So mm-hmm. now you got to find something else. And that's the part that I'm not going to go on too long, but I always blame TV commercials. They always said, do this and your life is solved, you know? So I thought, I got it, you know? And then I don't have it, you know? And, mm-hmm. and I'm lazy. I don't want to keep working it. You know, that's why you keep saying work it, work it, work. It's life is work. So anyhow, that's the program helps me keeping it fresh is work. I go kicking and screaming into it. You know, some days I'm willing, some days I'm not. So anyhow, thank you for everything. And wish me luck on my journey going through all of this. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Bye.
Thank you, Jen. Anyone else? Winnie?
I just want to add to the comment before about Peter M. I went to a retreat where he was the main speaker. I've never heard anything so powerful in my life, and I still repeat a lot of the things that he said. So I would encourage anyone and everyone here to join in and hear him because he is absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about you. Do you usually speak? Do you have places that you speak? I listen to you again and again.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Actually, I don't really like speaking. And it's so my passion with this service and this work is to read line by line, word by word to another drunk. And I just love doing that. I will be speaking in Chicago, I think, in February at a meeting that I can give you information to. But I try to say yes to the request. And trust God's process of it, but I really don't like speaking.
Well, if it helps you, I love hearing you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been so great to be with you all this morning. And, you know, again, giving credit where it's due. Thank you, God. It's amazing. Amazing what happens when we finally say, I'm done. I'm out of ideas and I'm willing. And I'd love to read the St. Francis prayer. It's interesting. I love what someone just said a second ago, you know, I just be the student every day in the St. Francis prayer. I just had 30 years in Alcoholics Anonymous on January 9th. And the St. Francis prayer keeps coming around. My son read it. And oh my goodness, you guys, to see a child that's afflicted with this disease, get the program, this fellowship that continues growing like no greater joy. And he read the St. Francis prayer at a celebration that some AA friends had. And then I'm listening to a spiritual teacher yesterday and it was all about St. Francis. And I'm like, okay, God, you know, this is how we have to listen. It's like, these things are not showing up for over and over. It's whispers again, it's signs like something's happening and so grateful to be receiving it. So if that's okay, you just let me know.
I would love to hear the St. Francis. I'm sure we all would.
Okay, beautiful.
It's one of my favorites.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled, as to console, to be understood, as to understand, to be loved, as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Thank you so much. Well, we're close to the end of our session here today. We may have time for 1 minute share. Otherwise, I'm going to be closing.
Are there any final questions for Ginger?
Just thank you with abundance, Ginger. Thank you so much. We have run out of time. We're going to remind you, Ginger, also to put your information in the chat before you leave. I'd like the information that you offered us today. Let's see. We're going to end today with a serenity prayer. There's two parts to the serenity prayer that I'm going to read with you. I got this, you know, as a part of the moderator information. So I'm going to read the first two parts of the serenity prayer. And then the last one is the one that we're all familiar with, the last column, the last stanza verse. So I'm going to ask you to join me in the last verse as you listen to the first two. The serenity prayer. God, grant me the peace to accept the things I cannot change. Grant me the guts to change the things I can. Grant me the mind to know which is which and always to follow your plan. Every time I tried to do it by myself, I wound up by myself. The more that I gave in, the more I found that I could win. The more control that I gave up, the more control I had. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the rest of the day and the seminar. And peace to every one of you. Thank you. Thank you, Ginger.
Thank you, Ginger. Fabulous, both thank of you. Wonderful job. Thank you.
Thanks for allowing me to be of service. I guess we can all talk amongst ourselves, guys.
Hey, Lori, everybody was complaining about how cold it is in New Jersey. So you want to give us an update for you?
Well, I don't know Fahrenheit well enough, but it's minus 22 Celsius. So I, just a minute, I'll ask Google what that is. Okay, Google, what's minus 22 Celsius?
Here are some results from a search.
Okay, Google, what is minus 22 Celsius?
$20 equals
131. It's Swedish
kronor. Lori, my Hey Google answered you, okay? Yeah. That it's 7 below 0 in Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's pretty cold.
It's cold here. It's freezing.
Well, it's more than freezing here.
Yes.
I have a blanket on in the house, blanket, butterflies, recovery oriented.
I was going to go out for a walk yesterday. It was just so cold. I just stayed in. It's like, ooh.
It's not 7 below, though.
I'll tell you what it is. I have a thermometer. Hold on.
Like 20. It was 24 last night, Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Yeah. If we were up in Star Lake right now, if we were actually at the retreat house, the conversation would be about black ice issues.
Oh, yeah.
So for my birthday this year, I've decided that I'm going to give myself a flight lesson in a small plane. And I'm really excited about it, but my birthday's in February, right? So last night I actually talked to somebody that was a pilot and I said, is it safer to go, like, should I wait until the spring to go up or should I go in the winter? You know, what do you think? Is it safer to fly in the winter or the spring? I just assumed it'd be safer to fly when it's warmer. And he said, it's safer to fly in the winter because the air is denser.
Wow.
I was like, wow, I would have never thought of that. I would have been, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I should wait, you know, but I'm all set to go.
Wow.
It's also easier to spot land markers when the trees don't have leaves. So
there you go, Carl. I'll have to let you know when I'm up there. I'll be taking some selfies. Anything's possible with this program, I just have to say.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Tony Ann. I would think that the humidity would like weigh you down in the summer, right? So like the denseness, I would think it would be not as dense in the winter.
I don't know. It doesn't weigh my hair down. It gets bigger.
Enjoy. Good for you.
Says it's recording, Tony Ann. Is it really recording already?